नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The reading in the 10th canto, the chapter Indra and Sarabhi offer prayers. And we're doing 17 and 18. We can all say 17 together. Gamyatam chakrapadram va kriyatame nishasanam stiyatam swari hareshu yuktarvatsambhavarjitaha. Translation. Indra, you may now go. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven. But be sober, without false pride. Purport. Lord Krishna here addresses Indra in the plural form, Vaha, because this grave instruction was meant to be a lesson for all the demigods. Text 18. Ataha Sarabhi Krishnam. Abhivanda Manashvini. Vasantana Upamrantra. Goparupinam Ishvaram. Ataha Sarabhi Krishnam. Abhivanya Manasvini. Svasanat Svasantana Upa Mantra. Guparupi Namishvaram.
Krishna.
Ka Min Aha spoke Surabhi, the mother of the cow Surabhi, Krishnam to Krishna, Abhivandya, offering respects, Manasvini, peaceful in mind, Swatsantanai, together with her progeny, the cows, the Pa Mantra, begging for his attention, Goparupi Nam, appearing as a cowherd boy, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Translation. Mother Surabhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Lord Krishna. Respectfully requesting his attention, the gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. Report. The statement here that the heavenly cow Surabhi approached Lord Krishna along with her progeny, Swasantanai, is a reference to the transcendental cows who play with Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Although Lord Krishna's cows are transcendental, the heavenly cow Surabhi affectionately saw them, as indeed Lord Krishna himself did, as related to her. Since Lord Krishna was appearing in the form of a cowherd boy, the whole situation was quite congenial, and Surabhi took the opportunity to offer the following prayers. And I thought I'd take an opportunity to talk about cows and get us ready in the consciousness for worshiping the cows and Govardhan Hill and Krishna in the next few days. I'm not sure if Surabhi here is going to say her prayers in Sanskrit or in cow language. But imagine, probably not cow language, because the demigods have to hear it also, and Lord Indra. But you can see that she's a very respectful, gentle lady, as is described here. Probably very fully conversant in Sanskrit, for sure. And she's actually accompanied by some other cows, too. Although she's from the heavenly planets, these cows are considered transcendental cows. But Lord Krishna sees all these cows, Surabhi, who's the mother of all the cows, and the other cows, and the cows here and everywhere, as very transcendental. So we will hear her prayers, and I'm sure relish and learn from our mother, the cow. Not only is she our mother in that way, but this mother cow is going to preach to us also. So she's very special. We should actually understand that the impersonalists would have a real hard time with this. They have a hard time, first of all, thinking that God is a person, period. But what less a cowherd boy, and that he can speak with the cows, and he loves the cows. So this would be a little hard. But for us, as devotees, we actually relish hearing about the Lord in the form of a cowherd boy and his relationships with the cows and the calves and everybody else. That's why we say, "Hey Govinda, hey Gopal," like we were chanting a few minutes ago. Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the cows and to the land and to the Brahmins. And Gopal, the one who maintains the cows, protects the cows. So these are all names of our Lord Krishna, describing him as one who is very affectionate towards the cows. And not only that, but he's very responsible for the cows. He has taken, especially in his younger years, he is responsible for caring for them and herding them around, milking them, decorating them, worshiping them. Actually, the very first thing he does in the morning, he rises on the request of his friends, "Please get up, let's go." He washes out his mouth, throws on a turban and a little gumsha, and they go to the barn, and they do a little wrestling matches, and then they take care of the cows. They milk them and feed them and bathe them, whatever, and take care of them. And then he goes back, bathes, and then he's fed all kinds of wonderful foodstuffs from the cows. Early morning breakfast here, also for the cows, is it from, you know, what we have sandish, we have rasgulla. In the morning, it's just like out of this world, all these milk sweets. offered to the deities. And it all comes from the transcendental cows, their wonderful contribution in the form of milk. And I'm sure that we all had some pets at some time. Is there anyone that never had a pet? I'm sure you all bugged your parents to have a pet, one or two or more than that. I know I had quite a few pets. And we loved our pets, and we were responsible, too. We took care of our pets, right? Or else, after a little while, our parents took care of them because we got tired of it. But and they paid for them. So, but, you know, we loved our pets, and then, lo and behold, we lost our pets. I know I lost one horse on the street, got hit by a car. I lost another dog, got hit by a truck, and, you know, and then they all end up dying anyway. And so it's not quite the same, you know, it's enjoyment and then suffering like everything in the material world. But we learned a lot by having pets, that we actually can have affection for them, and that they really do have souls, that they are personalities. I'm sure everyone has experienced some little relationship between that soul and that funny little fuzzy body and yourself. It's really hard to understand how anyone that's ever had a pet could not understand that there's a soul in that animal, in all animals, not just their pet, but in all animals, believe it or not. But Lord Krishna, he had 900,000 pet cows, along with other animals' pets too, and he knew every single one of their names. Srabi is one of them, and there's so many other names. And he was very affectionate to all of them. He took much time in his youth caring for them, herding them out, and making sure that they had the best of grasses, and that they were always worshipped properly and taken care of properly. And then the cows reciprocated. They also provided all the milk and friendship. And even though Krishna would grab on their tails and get dragged around, that was a nice a loving relationship also. And as we heard this morning, it was so nice to hear this Damodar Asakam by the accompaniment of a flute back there in the corner. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. But it was so such a wonderful adornment, to, adoration to the singing. And so Krishna would also give pleasure to his cows by playing his transcendental flute and calling them by their names. And then they would respond by mooing. And so this is actually a relationship that's always going on between Krishna and his cows. And of course the cows are also gave many more services to the residents of Vrindavan. Remember when they decided to move to Vrindavan, what did they do? They hooked up the bullock carts, put everything on the bullock carts, and that transferred them to Vrindavan. So transportation is a very important thing. At one time I went to Eka Chakra, and it got to be such that there was pretty much no electricity by the time we got there. The telephone poles started going like this. And I don't even know if there was electricity there, but when you start approaching Eka Chakra, you see all these bullock carts, beautiful wooden wheels on them and everything. And you see all the cows in the pasturing grounds. It's just full of cows. Really a very pleasant place to visit. At least it was 10, 12 years ago. I don't know. 20 years ago. I don't know how it's like now. But it's a wonderful scene to see the use of the cows. Also, the dung, of course, is used for fueling the fires. The methane also is used. It helps make their houses. You can make beautiful floors and walls with the cow dung. And medicinally, we're finding out that there's so many wonderful things that can be attributed to the cow dung and urine for the health. But Les Prabhupada said the nourishment that we get just from drinking the milk is amazing, wonderful, most wonderful food, Prabhupada said. So everything is very auspicious with the cow. I think there's even a description how Mother Yasoda would take a hair from the cow tail and do something to protect the child, so it would be auspicious, something like that. So there's so many things we don't know about it that we should be learning. And you think that, you know, this is a supreme personality of Godhead, and he's the CPO of the whole universe, and he's managing everything. And he's a counselor for everyone. He's a super soul in everyone's heart. He's busy. He's on call 24 hours a day. Everyone's always somehow or other oh God, please this, oh God, please that. He's having to give guidance to everyone. He's in the heart trying to tell people so many things. He's very, very busy. But what is his prime time used in? Cow herding, taking care of the cows. This is what he prefers to do. Grab a picnic basket or a bag and go out with his friends and herd cows. So this is a wonderful thing, and only the devotees can relish this. But you can see that this is the importance of the cow is there, and Srila Prabhupada stressed it. Not only did he stress it, but he would pretty much scream at the Christians, you know, on this point. So, why are you killing the cow? You know, he would get so heavy, he would never let up. That was like the last grinding thing. Okay, yes, you believe this, you believe that, but why are you killing the cow? And then he would sometimes talk to people and say, kill some other animal, eat something else, but not the cow. And he really wanted us to, on a bigger level, stop this slaughter of the cows. Because it would be the greatest contribution, most effective thing that we could do to make this world peaceful. Because the wars, he said, were because of this cow slaughter, merciless cow slaughter. He also said that this was very opulent to have cows and land, agriculture. They're all interrelated and all very important together, because it cultivates a very peaceful atmosphere, mode of goodness. He actually preferred that the women and the children were raised on farms and had this peaceful atmosphere to live in, so that their simplicity could be concentrated and directed towards the Supreme Lord. We see that that's such a wonderful thing if we could do that. It would save our children from so many bad influences and really be such a benefit. For their early years and get a taste of simple life and appreciation and respect for so many things that are gone in this age. They barely have respect for their physical mother, what less any of the other mothers like the earth and the mother cow. So this opulence is there because in the agricultural-based community, which Prabhupada really wanted us to have, the cow, the bulls, the oxen would be plowing the fields, and so many other things were reliant on the cow. Just recently, they had a cyclone in Jagannath Puri and around there, and I saw one thing, and they had this big evacuation. Thousands and thousands, 10,000, million people had to evacuate. They said that some of the farmers refused to leave because they wanted to stay and protect their animals. They realized they couldn't take their animals with them, and it was their life, you know. That's what they rely on. They appreciated and loved them so much that they stayed with them and protected them. So this culture is a little bit lost these days, but we should understand that our greatest preaching on a big scale would be to bring back this consciousness of how important the cow is. And there's so many different things we can do in the service of the cows so that we can become more cow conscious, more Krishna conscious at the same time, because the cows and Krishna are so interwoven in their lives and in their consciousness. So there's different services of even coming here and brushing the cows. And I know there's one lady that gives like bubble baths to one of them, you know, and things like that. And you can feed the cows. And most of these cows, though, have not been trained to be real gentle or real close to people. So be careful, because some of them will butt you good if you're not careful. But there's one big, huge white cow. It's quite friendly. And the one with the little curly horns, she's pretty nice too. But the bigger ones, I would not recommend going and getting too close to them. Especially that the Brahmin cow, that she's actually not friendly at all. So be careful when you're crossing the field. But most of us don't really know the cows so much. We haven't been around cows so much. When we think of cows and opulence, we think of two subjects with curtain at this Sunday. Wow. And Shrikan on the big holidays, and that is opulence. All that ghee, right? Oh yes, mother cow. But we don't really know where this milk has come from. For instance, on Doranam Puja, we will use over 100 gallons easily, probably 150 gallons of milk on Doranam Puja for the festival. Coming from cows that, you know, we don't know, but we do have a very nice dairy source now. But it's a long way from that curd and the subji from the cow. There's a lot of people involved in getting that nice fried curd ghee into the subji. It takes a lot of maintenance to take care of cows and to have that opulence. And so that's why we're encouraging people to take part. Here in New Ramanreti, we're going to have more opportunities so that you can come and learn about cows and take part in cow service, cow seva. In a couple weeks, I think about 2 weeks, we're expecting a little calf to come here who's been named by Radna Swami as Robbie. And she'll only be about 4 months just away from her mother, so it'd be nice to give her some affection. And there's all kinds of things that you can do and purchase for her and to take part in actually caring for her and learning about cows. And this will please Krishna, and I think you'll find that it'll put you in the mode of goodness. Just hang out with the cows is quite an experience. I walked in the kitchen in Los Angeles one time, and one lady, her name was Labanga Latik, and she's an older god sister of mine, and she was usually always on Sankirtan. And then she just kind of switched over to making Mangal Arti sweets, and she was there just on a big stainless steel table and just taking a thing of curd about this big and just smearing it on the counter like this for hours until it was so fine and so wonderful to make sandesh with it. The finer you get it, the better. And that's more how Papa would like it. And she I came by and she goes, "This is in such a mode of goodness." It just like really completely changed her whole consciousness and mood. So much so that she went to India and she bought tons of cows. She became famous for her knowledge of how to take care of cows medicinally, Ayurvedically. Now she's like a very, very important person in that department. And she's raised and taken care of hundreds and hundreds of cows. And so this is how, you know, her life got transformed. And I'm sure she can give us a lot of lessons on this respect that is due our mother, Saravi. Unfortunately, in India, though, the protection of the cow has changed a lot. I know even in the years that I've been going to India, you don't see cows on the streets so much, and they're not allowed, I don't think, on the streets in Delhi. They used to, you'd be driving along and there'd be cows in the median area and bulls here and there in the markets. And people would just, you know, tolerate them, go around them, touch them as they go by and touch their head or their heart with on them. And it was such a nice thing, you know. Now I don't think they're allowed. But right now, instead of so many people taking care of cows, they're sewing the cow's skin into leather so that it could be imported here for us to buy. So it's been a very crucial change in the protection of cows and the consciousness of the cow in India. Their culture was based on that. And it was such an important thing that they've lost. And it's affected their whole culture. Has repercussions, just like now that there's tractors and they don't use the bulls, there's no need to have the bulls. So goodbye, bulls and cow, oxen. So they're using tractor, and because of the fuel, then that costs more, and it's causing suicides because they can't pay for it all. And then the fuel that they normally have, now they don't have that fuel for their fires and things like that. You use alternative methods. So it's been a really a shame that it's rebounded, you know, resounded throughout their whole culture. And we can see that we never had that in our culture. So now we have to bring that lost spiritual, you know, understanding of the cow into our culture here. And Srila Prabhupada tried to do that. He tried very hard. He was very happy with our farms. I'm sure he's very happy what we've done here in our protection of cows. We have, you know, had cows for 40 years here. Ever since early 70s, we've been taking care of these cows. And not we, actually, just a very few people, a handful of people, Devaki, Keshusudna, Keshuhanta, very few have put out their energy to take care of the cows, even in their old age, which is not easy. And to see them to pass away is also a big responsibility. Sometimes you'll go out there and you'll see the little tent up and the cows leaving their body, and they have a Prabhupada plane, and they have, you know, hay all underneath them, and they try to make them as comfortable as possible. I'm sure Prabhupada's very pleased. And he was very pleased when he went to New Vrindavan and saw how much milk there was, and in Gita Nagari how they were expanding their cow program. It was a good attempt by us. It wasn't always successful, and hopefully we've learned our lessons. Here we've already taken a vow not to have more than 10 cows at one time, and maintain it at 10 so that we can do it nicely. And so we're working on it. If anyone would like to help us in any way, you can encourage your kids. If you'd like them to go to college, have them become veterinarians. That'd be great. We need more vets. Very expensive to have one come on the property and take care of the cows. It'd be very nice to know how to do it ourselves. So we've also seen, Mukhya sent me a link, and I went on to it. And all she said was, let's try this therapy. When can we start? And it's a whole link on cow hugging therapy, which has become popular in the Netherlands, in Europe. And it shows these people coming in hordes. I mean, big groups of people, busloads of people, and old people and disabled people, people that have lost their husbands, and just young people, all kinds of people coming and just hugging cows. And you'll see, you know, these big old cows are sitting there, Holstein cows are sitting there, and people are laying on them, sleeping on them, just hanging out with them, and they're licking, and the cows are licking the people, and they're just like, wow, you know, a kiss by a cow. And it's actually, they come regularly. They come for cow therapy. And so it's a new thing to hang out with cows. So we should make license plates, you know, have you hugged your cow today? You know? And we should actually develop this here at this farm. You know, as soon as we get some cows that are gentle and you know, friendly with people, we should start this. And I'm sure it would be big, you know, because so many people are stressed out. And just to come and hug a cow. We went over, there's two oxen that are, we got a phone call. About three of us all at the same time got phone calls. We have some cows that need to be rescued. And we love them. They're our pets, but we have too small of a yard. We can't take care of them anymore. Will you please take them? And so they're 3 years old, but they're really big. You know, they're big Holstein oxen. We went over and saw them, and they are pets. I mean, they'll lick you, and you can hug them to death. And they're oxen. They're really big. They're about 1,200, 2,000 pound pets. And but this lady has, you know, really made them, you know, spoil like anything. They get their Oreos and their bread and everything else. And but we're considering it, and we think we might rescue them. And she got them from the University of Florida at 5 months. They were separated from their mother right away, which is a horrible thing to do. But because you know, the most dairies and things are interested just in one bull and a lot of cows giving milk, that when male cows, oxen are born, they have to get rid of them. And because they're no use. They don't use them for anything. So if you ever want to rescue cows, you can go to University of Florida or to many places and get these poor cows that have no future. zero future. So we're hoping to bring these offspring here and become part of our family, part of Krishna Balaram's family. You see, we have two cows on the altar. They never go away. We don't take them off like the other animals. We have peacocks and tigers and horses, and we've got every kind of, you know, species of animal in the back room that we put on the altar every day. But we take them off, we change them and everything. But these cows, they'll never be taken off the altar. They are Krishna Balaram's cows. And there's one thing about cows, though, that are a little different from these cows, real cows, you know, like the cows we're going to get. They are our deities, like these are our deities. But these deities, they multiply. And they, you know, we get more cows. So it's a very big responsibility, and we have to be prepared for that, just like we prepare for our deity worship and maintain it. So we're going to do this very carefully, and we do need a lot of help in that regard. So we have a lot to get together. Srila Prabhupada could predicted that the economy would collapse. I know you all don't want to hear it, and you don't believe it, you don't know it won't happen in your lifetime, and la, 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 la. But Prabhupada, whatever he said is true. And he said that this economy will collapse, and I don't know about you, but if you peek at the news, it might be on its way. But they will rely on our farms, on the ISKCON farms, for everything. For thousands of people will come here. Prabhupada said thousands will come here. And we have to engage them. We have to be prepared. So to be prepared, to be the backbone of the society at some point, we need to go forward with our cow and agriculture program. It's Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And if we really want the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then we should take care of his cows and his land. It's very clear that this is his instructions, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and it hasn't really been done properly in the level that he wants us to do it on. So we're begging for everyone to please come and help. We do have Govardhan Puja coming up very soon. And it's a wonderful time to get closer to your cows. You can feed the cows. We'll bring some cows up front. And we'll have a booth out here and explain to you and sign you up for different services that you can do. And somehow or other, you know, take part in the worship of our mother. So maybe someone else would like to say something in this regard. Or maybe someone has some questions about the importance of the cow or what we're going to be doing here in the near future.
I will. It's more of a comment of similarity here. In real estate, there's a term, chattel mortgage, CHATTEL, and that came from a European word, which means, when translated to English, is cattle. And the way that was originated, chattel mortgage means your personal property. So it came from Europe because people's personal property were the cows. So that's how that originated. Just want to share that.
You hard to have some in the apartments around here. I mean, you might have some problems having a personal cow in the back of the yard, drinking out of the pool, I don't know. But you can come here, and they have these your personal cows, too. Back there. Actually, yesterday we just cleared out a place in the very back of the property, because when she first comes, she'll need some protection. Cows are very dependent. And she'll just be away from her mother. And I think too many people at once, you know, way up here in front, we can't really control it. And we don't know what people will bring it or do with it. So it is we have a small pen. And then we'll move her up closer into another pen near the other cows. And then she'll, when we get the barn done, she'll be in the property of the Eco Teaching Farm. And we have a very nice program where we're going to be able to, you know, actually do some preaching on this level. We'll be able to bring schools here. Cows will be such that they can be petted and things like that. And we'll be able, hopefully everyone can take part in actually preaching about the cow, bringing people in and see how we're doing this, see. And we decorate them, we worship them, we love them. But for in the beginning, since they're not real familiar with humans, although this cow is very affectionate to humans, and we just want in the beginning develop it slowly, so that's the plan.
Years ago, I was living in Vrindavan for a year and a half, and I remember on Govardhana Puja that year, because in Vrindavan they always have quite a few baby calves, so they put two baby calves, and they were just like a few days old. They put them on the altar. You know how the altar comes out like a bow in Vrindavan, like that. They put them right there. In front, right on the altar.
They weren't freaked out.
And they just had them sitting there, you know, just sitting there. So sweetest thing you ever saw in your life. Yeah. So they were just sitting there, and they left them there for about, probably like a half hour or an hour. Mm-hmm. But it was tremendous. You know, so, you know, just evoke such loving feelings in your heart for these calves. They were so sweet. And another, when they were talking about the Dharma Ashpuru, I think, was mentioning Chattal, or I don't know how to pronounce that, but actually, you know, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam that economic development depends on the land and the cows. And it's bottom line, because you can't eat nuts and bolts. You know, so.
There's one temple, Sri Rangam. I've been there before, and we were there very early, and they bring a cow in the very first thing when the deities open. The first thing that the deities see is the cow. And so someone the other day, I think it was Mataro, he said, "You should do that. You should bring your calf in." They would slip on here. You'd have to put them. They'd freak out.
The cows, you know, very, very dear to Krishna, and ultimately the cows are Krishna's devotees. I think also an important point is that we as devotees also have to learn. First of all, in taking care of cows, we have to learn to cooperate with one another. For instance, the mode of passion is creation, the mode of ignorance is destruction, the mode of goodness is maintenance. And Srila Prabhupada had asked that we at least keep things in between what Srila Prabhupada had created. So not only hugging cows is important, but we have to learn to hug one another. I don't even necessarily mean, you know, physically embrace, although that's also there. But we have to actually learn with our hearts how to hug the devotees and appreciate the devotees. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he's a servant of my devotees is my devotee. So I think this is very, very important point, because it seems that over the years, sometimes we've lost a little bit of this understanding.
This appreciation is also by serving each other. And as we see, as we get older, that we need to help serve each other, even physically. That will help develop that loving relationship.
I remember a couple of years, some time ago, Mahavishnu Maharaj was here. Please, please, please. And he said that everybody should spend 15 minutes a day with the cow. He said a lot of things. That's the one thing I remember. He says, to spend 15 minutes a day with the cow.
Okay, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Mata Ki Jai.